Thanks.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of February 4th, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to review the state of civic affairs in Moreno Valley, California. You can catch us as a podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or any archive show from the past. You are welcome to phone us directly and be on the show at 946-929-0610 and follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com, and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in this evening. Now let's get started. Welcome, Deanna. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's good to be on the air again, and I wanted to go right into our subject matter, primarily the events of last night's City Council's study session. And, you know, during the public speaking part, a lot of people came up to express various levels of disgust or support for the decision made by the City Council on the Prologis project. And your host, your co-host, Mike, gave one extensive report on business park and mixed land uses versus the warehouses as being beneficial to our economy or not. And I covered many topics such as more jobs per square foot in business parks, more likely to provide sales tax revenue, less negative effect on property values, and a great many other topics. A lot of other people spoke against the project still. They're still upset about it. And other people said that they were more or less maybe glad at least it got approved, but there are still a lot of hurdles to go through. What did you think about that part of the discussion last night, Deanna?
Well, the council really didn't discuss the Prologis, but, you know, people give their opinions of what they liked or didn't like it that happened at the previous meeting. I thought you had an excellent report.
Thank you.
And, you know, some of us are just not happy with what the city council did. You know, I didn't bother bringing it up because I was too fixated on speaker rules and possible changes and what I thought they should be. So that's what I focused on, because at a study session, no matter how many topics are on there, you don't get a speaker slip for on-agenda comments and not on-agenda comments. You get to speak 3 minutes, and you have to put everything you have to say into 1 3-minute speaking engagement.
Yes, that's correct. The bailiff explained that to me, and I foolishly went over there and tried to get a second slip to discuss some other item. During the public discussion, there was an appearance by Brian Hickson of Highland Fairview and the Edo Benzivi people, and he made some claims that they are large property owners in the city and therefore were big taxpayers. And he made it sound, in my opinion, like they were deserving of a little bit of extra consideration, especially since they were bringing all these jobs, supposedly, to Moreno Valley. And I didn't have a chance to speak to Mr. Hickson, but I wanted to remind him later that the amount of taxes that he pays is related to his general plan designation. And right now, as vacant land, they are really not paying all that much tax for everything they're claiming to be in this community. That's my opinion, and I just wanted our listeners to know that it's just another one of those, you know, exaggerations that the Highland Fairview people like to pull. Now,
when they may have a lot of acres, they're paying for a lot of acres more than, say, one house might pay for. But as far as, you know, the amount that they're paying per how much they have, they're paying a lot less than anybody else because it is empty land that hasn't been improved.
That's correct. That's right. Then they went right into the discussions about the budget after the public speaking was finished. And what did you find, Deanna, as the primary highlights of that part of our meeting last night?
Well, on the budget, I thought it was very interesting that they picked certain cities to contrast with Moreno Valley. And, of course, Moreno Valley was at the bottom of that particular pile because they picked, you know, Ontario, Temecula, other cities that had better positions, say, closer to Los Angeles or San Diego or, you know, bigger freeways next to them. I mean, the 60 is not nearly as you know, at this end of the 60 is not nearly as big as the 10 or the 60, you know, closer to Los Angeles. You know, you're talking, what, 5 lanes there, and, you know, we have 2 lanes here, so obviously you're not talking as much traffic, so obviously we're not going to get the same kind of sales tax because we're not going to get the same amount of people traffic coming off the freeways than, you know, freeways where it's a much larger freeway and there's a lot more people on it. And so the council actually did recognize that, you know, the cities that they picked for us were probably not the cities that we were necessarily in the same ranking with or should have been. And given that some of those are already built out and we are not built out, you know, it was a not quite a fair comparison either for that reason. So I'm glad that the city council did recognize that. But pretty much the
is CFO... Is Mr. Kreiker going to bring back a revised chart, do you think?
I doubt it. And now another thing that I notice in these charts, and I think this is just hilarious, is they always like to start at when everything peaked, when everything was overpriced and houses were selling for, you know, at least double what they were actually worth, sometimes times as much as what they were worth at that particular moment. And they start that and so how the sales have gone down from there. And they've taken that particular point as the beginning point. But if you look at it and you go back to, say, 2000 and you come up to 2014, what you would see is you would see this peak that went up and came back down, but you would actually see a veritable line going, you know, slowly up, except for, you know, that little recession when things way went up and then they came back down to where they should have been, probably a little bit past where they should have been. But if you actually look at it in that context, you can see what they're showing you is really not an accurate what you would expect it to be.
So I found that to be the case. And my neighbor that was sitting beside me, he said he wondered if some kind of leverage was being employed by Mr. Tyker or his manager to maybe influence council thinking on what budget moves to make.
Well, you notice what they were getting at, and this is what they've been getting at for some time now, is some kind of revenue measure, and they mentioned different kinds of revenue measures. And I don't think the citizens of Moreno Valley are interested in a revenue measure. I mean, if you keep wasting money, why would we want to give you more money to waste? And now what I didn't know, because I did leave the city council meeting early on the 27th, and they pulled the MOU with the union, but that is back on the agenda for next week's meeting. And I don't think most people realize this, but employees that were hired before 2011 are able to accumulate like 334 hours of leave a year. And if you divided that by 40, they're accruing over eight weeks of leave time every single solitary year. And they can accrue up to 1,600, I think, in 64 hours, which is about 10 months of leave.
Unbelievable.
One of the
reasons never did anything like that.
Well, who has 8 weeks of vacation when you first get hired? Are you kidding me? And so the city doesn't actually put this money aside as these people are earning it. And so that's why there's millions in unfunded liabilities. This is an unfunded liability. They have some of it funded, but not enough, and they know it. And yet they've done nothing to take this away, you know, lower the amount for people that were hired before 2011. They did change it so people that were hired after 2011, they can only accrue up to 800 hours, but they're still accruing the same 334 hours each year. That's still 8 weeks of vacation. Are these people nuts?
And what an effect and impact that has on the city budget, and suddenly, too, because a person could retire or quit or leave or something at any time. That's not always in the budget to be recovered.
And these are some of the things. So this is on the agenda for next week. Well, it's one of the reasons that we have millions in unfunded liabilities. So this is something that people need to speak about. I mean, this is something that these people, they need to give it up. They need to agree, you know what, that's just too much leave, and they need to take extra vacations and so that they do not accrue this much leave.
When I retired from the agency, I did. We had to use it or lose it.
It's insane.
Be paying attention to that. And then they went on later in the meeting. Did you want to finish up on something?
Pretty much, you know, just woe is Moreno Valley, and it's basically they were trying to set the stage so that people would want these warehouses because this is going to be the answer to our prayers. You know, sort of like when they said Sketches was going to be the answer to our prayers. We know that it wasn't. It hasn't given us what they said it would. It never did. It never will, and neither will this World Logistics Center.
Amen. Amen to that. Deanna, later on they went into the rules and procedures discussion where they're thinking about what they might do to serve the public better by operating the council in a more professional manner. What could you tell us about what happened during that discussion?
Well, during the the comments at the beginning, a couple of people, they used to be with 30 Miles of Corruption. They gave a new name, but I don't actually remember what it was. And they were saying that the instructions given at the beginning violated the Brown Act, and they couldn't tell people that they had to address the presiding officer of the council, and they couldn't address any other person. And then they brought up the BACA lawsuit with the school board. But the BACA lawsuit with the school board wasn't because BACA wanted to talk to someone besides the school board. She was using a teacher's name in a complaint, or I don't remember if it was a teacher administered, but I'm pretty sure it was a teacher, and she wanted to complain about him, and they wouldn't let her use a name of a district employee while speaking. And so they stopped her speech, threw her out, and they did the lawsuit. And so you can use a staff member's name, you know, and the public's well aware. They can complain about the staff. They can complain about, you know, the city council people. So I don't think they understood what it was that the instruction, but I don't know that telling the audience that you have to talk to the council, you can't talk to other people in the audience. I mean, that's a pretty reasonable thing. If you want to talk to people in the audience, why are you taking the public's time in doing it? Go talk to the audience.
I know. I think they need to work on that. If they're going to have true democracy here in our community, let people say what's on their mind at council meetings, and some do, as you heard last night. A lot of speakers are very free-flowing with the words. But the general public needs to know and that they can point the finger at wrongdoing if they see it. It can be discussed later and we can get to the bottom of it. But they need to redo that policy, and I believe the threat of a lawsuit or violations of the Brown Act might be the incentive they need to really take a hard look at that. What else could you add for us?
Well, you know it, and but you know, there's a second part of that, and that is that a lot of people that I talk to that are on the email list that listen to, you know, this show, they will not go to a city council meeting and speak because they do not want to listen to the rhetoric, to listen to the intimidation from other audience members, to listen to the boos. And so basically, many of the city council meetings have been conducted in such a way that people are dissuaded from exercising their free speech rights because of being intimidated by audience members. And there is something wrong with that. So there needs to be a balance between people being able to bring their concerns to the council and other people bringing their concerns without being intimidated out of bringing those concerns. So you know what? There's a lot more going on there. And so it's an interesting balance, but there needs to be balance.
Did you have any more news about some matter regarding the contents of a closed session a while back that was leaked by one of the speakers? Could you tell us a little more, please, about what you're referring to?
Well, I think you were still there during the public comments, and if you remember correctly, Chris Baca went up there, and he was calling for an investigation because in closed session he quoted saying that George Price insisted on settling the lawsuit over Gutierrez.
I see.
And so for him to say what was said in closed session, the only way he could have repeated what was said in closed session is if somebody broke the law and told him what was said in closed session. And that is definitely illegal to divulge what was said in a closed session of a city council or any governing body by, you know, the Brown Act, because that's the whole point of closed session. It is not public. It cannot be disclosed. Now, the city council, for some of you who might not remember this, there was closed session information leaked previously during the time that Henry Garcia was hired during interviews of potential city manager candidates. And council members heard about it. There was an investigation, and Tom Owings actually asked the council to give up attorney-client privilege and make public the contents of that investigation, and they did. Now, during that investigation, the only council member that did not, I have that. You don't? I never sent that to you, or you never got that? I'll have to find
it. It's lost in my files. But you can resend it. That'd be great.
Well, Jesse Molina was the only council member that would not cooperate with the investigation, and he was the only person that would not talk to the investigator. Every other council member did. So to me, it's pretty obvious that Jesse Molina was the leak. And since it was Benzivi's people that had the information and given the ties, you know, that also makes sense. So given that this was, and he specifically stated it was at a closed session in December, so which Jesse Molina would have been there. So, you know, maybe this is a habit of Jesse Molina's. So
wow,
I find that
like you've done a lot of research.
What we need to call for is an investigation of the closed session leakage again. So he was calling.
Wow, this is really. Go ahead. You, just that you remind me of Watergate. Somehow, the way those attorneys finally closed in on the corrupt presidency, and it's all sounds just like it. And I wanted to I wanted to jump into the missing 18 minutes, if some of our listeners remember the Watergate days, for somebody to erase some tapes containing valuable information that protected the president. And so we might have something like that going on at City Hall, because another attorney has accused the city of actually manipulating and cutting and destroying certain videotaped records of our public meetings. Did you have any thoughts on that, Deanna?
No, I did find out exactly what they were talking about. At the meeting on the 27th, a question was posed to Suzanne Bryan, and I believe it was during the Prologis hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I guess, started answering the question and then kind of went on topic but talked for like 2 or 3 minutes and what someone said kind of rambled totally off topic.
Was that the one where the mayor sort of cut her off, like they weren't getting anywhere?
You know what? I'm not sure because I wasn't at the meeting, but...
I saw that. Yeah, yeah. They cut her off. They caught her unprepared.
Well, and apparently someone asked Roy Blechert where it was at, and so he told them he would look it up, and he went back to the tapes to look, and when he got to that spot, there was just seconds of her, not the entire thing, and so he went back, and apparently it's gone from what was posted on the city's website. So
that's what it was.
That's what they're talking about, is that the city attorney's, whatever it was that she said, most of it was missing from the tape. And so I guess
who
we'll
see.
Who
would authorize that? Who would authorize?
Huh?
I know that. I wonder who authorized the deletion of that part. I don't know if she goes back in there and starts running the machine and looking at the video and doing a little bit of a, well, I don't know who did it, but I noticed that the city manager did have a private discussion over at the seat of those attorneys for a couple of minutes.
Following this accusation. So it was an attorney and a non-attorney, and they were the same people from what used to be 30 Miles of Corruption, and now they gave a new name, so I don't know if that means they're with 30 Miles of Corruption and another entity, or if they're no longer with Miles of Corruption, and they're just with this new entity. But one of them said she's been a practicing attorney for 18 years. The other one is not a practicing attorney, I don't believe. She said she wasn't.
I know. They both did specify that when they came up to speak.
Yeah, no, these are the same people that, you know, are praising Baca and yet don't care if, you know, our city council violates the Brown Act or violates the closed session rules, or they don't care what our city council violates. They care about what Riverside violates, but not what we do here. So
I didn't really know what their game was either, to tell you the truth. You're more informed than me about their past, according
well,
to
I them. Actually. So I got an answer.
Well, thank you, Deanna. You found out a lot. I couldn't stay very late. And I hope that we have an opportunity and through this podcast and by other official channels that might come about to find out more about these topics. I did want to mention just one thing. I wanted to say that I wasn't able to come back for a second appearance at the podium regarding rules and procedures, but I did suggest to one of the council members in an email that they looked into the possibility of, in the future, having some means for the public speakers to bring their own PowerPoints or other videos up to the podium with them when they speak, up to 3 minutes and subject to other rules and criteria. I could think of some things that would have been explained much better if we had some visual aids. And so I asked if they could look into that and maybe help move the council along to the 21st century where we could do some things like that. One of the caveats would be we'd have to give it to the IT people maybe 3 days in advance to make sure it's all compatible with their system and everything. But anyway, I hope that the council member I wrote to will get back to me soon and maybe they can take a look at it. I know Palo Alto and a few other cities do that.
They're basically going over the speaking rules, and it's going to come back, and, you know, they didn't come up to any real decisions, except it looks like they're going to change the council meetings to, instead of being the second and fourth Tuesdays to be the first, third Tuesdays. That way, if you wanted to go to the school board meetings, you would be able to do that. Because right now the school board meetings and our regular meetings are the same days, the second and fourth. So if ours changed to the first and third, if you wanted to go to a school board meeting, you would be able to. And I think they're going to go back to one study session a month, which leaves one week a month that they don't have a city council meeting, and they're going to move closed session meetings to 4:30. Is it 4 or 4:30 to be before the city council meeting, so that they're not having a closed session at 1:30 in the morning after they have a
like last week
marathon council meeting. And so that's one of the other things that they had wanted. And some of the stuff were going to come back, and they pretty much the city council asked them to come back with options so they could discuss it and decide which option they liked better. So so it looks like it's going to be a fluid thing when it comes back. So if anybody has any ideas on what they would like the city council meetings to have, now would be the time to tell the city council before they're actually voting on it so that they can think about it.
Correct. How long did the study session last? I think it might have gone quite late because I had to leave early, but there were more people than usual at the study session.
9:30.
Okay. okay. Well, I think that covers most of our agenda, and I was wondering if you had any other meetings of importance coming up. Do we know when the next meetings that we should be looking at are going to be here?
The next city council meeting is next Tuesday on February 10th. That solar agreement that they pulled is back on the agenda, but I actually have not had time to read the documents because it was just posted this evening. It usually gets posted sometime after 5:30. I'm not sure what time exactly it got posted. The memorandum with the management associates is on there, and I will definitely have something to say about that. There was a couple of other minor things on there. Oh, I believe it was an apartment complex, an appeal of the planning commission decision. And there are some meetings coming up. Let's see if I can cover them really quick. Tomorrow there are SCAG meetings. Those are held in Los Angeles. There's an economic development subcommittee meeting at 2 o'clock tomorrow. There's a Ritchie Vista realignment meeting at Northridge Elementary School on Thursday from 6 to 8. There is a poetry reading and Marina Valley Unified School District art show at Stone Ridge Town Center, which by the Cultural Arts Foundation. There is a safety subcommittee meeting on Monday the 9th at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, the regular council meetings at 6 o'clock at 10.
Okay.
There's an RCTC meeting at 9:30 next Wednesday. There is a WRCOG meeting next Wednesday. There is a oversight board special meeting next. There is a County of Riverside Airport Land Use Commission meeting on February the 12th at the county building from 9 to 11. There is a Senior Advisory Committee meeting on the 16th, a SCAG meeting on the 17th.
A lot of people are going to be busy.
There's a March Joint Powers meeting on the 18th at 8:30 in the morning, and there's a Nation Street Corridor Workshop plan meeting at 6 o'clock at City Hall. And
thank you.
I think we are just about out of time. So
and we'll be back on the 11th then for our podcast.
Good. Goodbye, Moreno Valley. Thank you for listening, and we will be here
good
next
night,
week.
Moreno.